We start our Wednesday nights with what we call a prayer devotion, something related to stimulate us to the throne of God's grace. And I have a question as we think about prayer. What is to be our motivation? What is to drive us in our prayers? Or to put it another way, what are we after in our prayers? Psalm 9 is a great help for us here. It gives us a window into what is to be our motivation for prayer and what our desire is in and through our prayers. You know, Psalm 9 is a great psalm. It focuses upon who God is, His name, His attributes, His character. It also focuses upon what God has done, His mighty acts, His redeeming work, His righteous intervention of judgment, of justice, the wonderful deeds that He has done, His great acts and actions. And the Psalm 9 opens with a kind of a co-mingling of God's name and God's attributes or actions. Let me read the first two verses. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And here, these opening verses extol the Lord for who He is and the great deeds that He has accomplished. There's a sense of exaltation in God's character, His righteous name. Hey, Mark, you want to turn that down slightly? His righteous name and the great exalted God. He is the one who is the Most High. Speaking of God's glory, His transcendent righteousness, His eternal being. And it continues, you know, verse 7. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established His throne for justice, depicting God as an exalted, reigning, a triumphant king. And then in verse 10, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. A description of those who know their God, to look to Him, to lean upon Him, to trust in Him. And throughout this psalm, there is a sprinkling of God's greatness or God's glory. Just like in that good multi-layer carameled cake, that good old southern caramel cake that has a thin layer of cake and then frosting and cake and caramel icing, and it keeps on going. Splattered throughout this psalm are these aspects of God's righteous glory and God's great redemptive works. Verse 11, there's a sense of response to who God is in this psalm. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples His deeds. This twofold response: to worship the Lord and to declare to others the marvel of His greatness, the glory of His majesty. In verse 14, the psalmist writes, that I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. Here is this sense of reflecting upon who God is and upon what God has done. The sense of praise, of gratitude, of worship, of giving thanks to the Lord. the reformer Martin Bucer, as he reflects on Psalm 9, draws out this theme of the glory of God. Martin Bucer, one with whom Calvin spent some time when he was in Strasbourg, Martin Bucer, who knew of Martin Luther, the reformer from Strasbourg, he says, "The saints only ask," and he's speaking about prayer, "the saints only ask is for the glory of God." Here he gets at the heartbeat of what is at the fundamental motivation of our prayers. And it is God's glory, that his name be honored and magnified, acknowledged, that his praise and glory be advanced. The only ask, he says, is for the glory of God and to praise him and to live for his glory. There's a twofold aspect here of what Martin Bucer is saying is at the heart of our motivation in prayer. One is praying for the glory and honor of the Lord. And then secondly, there's that personal response to who God is and what he has done as we praise him for who he is, to live for his glory. For when we praise him, acknowledge he is all glorious, it is a transforming thing. It is to affect how we live, what we say and think and do, that we might live increasingly for the glory of God. So our primary the primary motivation in our prayers is that God's name be glorified and that we ourselves may increasingly live for his glory. That be the pulsating power at the very heart of our prayer life. Some years after Martin Bucer, those maybe 100 years after the Reformation, came up with slogans as they were reflecting on what God did in the Great Reformation. And one of the slogans, they were all Latin expressions, "Soli Deo Gloria," for the glory of God alone, abbreviated by the initials sometimes, SDG. And you would find Christian believers like Johann Sebastian Bach, as he gave himself to music for the glory of God, as he was writing, composing music. He would scrawl in his music composition at times, SDG, that this might be for the glory of the Lord. And that is to be the attitude that's gripped our own lives. You know, the Westminster Divines instruct us in that very first question of the Shorter Catechism about living for the glory of God. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God, is part of the answer. And this gets at what the Apostle Paul lays out in that great instruction for us as he comes to the end of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, as he talks to this church and all of their actions and behavior at Corinth. He says, "So whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." So as we go about praying, let us remember that our primary motivation is for God's glory, for the honor of his name, and for us to submit ourselves to him, to the authority of his word, to live under that glorious rule and reign of our triumphant Messiah, that we may live our own lives for his glory. So let's take some time as we begin our time together in prayer, extolling God's name, acknowledging His righteousness, His holiness, His glory. Let's do so in many different expressions of it. You could draw from Psalm 9 or somewhere else in the Scripture. Let's remind ourselves of the greatness of the Lord. And let's do so as we pray around our tables. So if you're new, we're so glad you're here, that you've joined us in prayer. No pressure for you to pray aloud, but if you would like to pray aloud, please pray so that others can hear what you're saying, and we can join in with you quietly as you pray. Well, let's go to God's throne of grace that we may declare His righteous glory. Let's pray.